Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Dan Van Kirk.
Yes.
From Dumb People Town, and we've got Adam from Adam Ruins Everything. Adam Conover on the show this
week. Hello!
Good time in Dumb People Town, right? I mean, you like to make people smarter. When they finish watching your show
and listen to
your podcast, they try and be smarter. We are going to not be focusing on those people in this episode.
No, but we are going to focus on possibly the greatest eyewitness to any one of our stories. Mulver.
The first story has one of the greatest Dumb People Town characters ever, and he didn't actually do anything wrong. Check it out.
Feral Audio.
Get started.
Is it Allie?
That's Allie. I'm Georgia.
Okay.
Real loud.
I've had
coffee. Hey.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Slumber Party with Allie and Georgia.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Georgia, did you learn anything?
You know, as a matter of fact, I did.
Let's talk about it.
I learned from Time Out magazine that if you have an L.A. County library card, which I'm assuming a lot of listeners do, but I imagine you can get one even if you don't live in L.A.
Okay.
You have all these perks that I didn't know about.
Shush.
Okay, some of them are you have access to online videos, instructional videos, like a ton of them. You can get digital magazines, tons of them. You can get these language, like, classes online.
Seriously?
Yes, you can get Hoopla, which is a book thing that you can read on your tablet. There's, like, a tutor.com. There's all these, like, movies and shit. And the total savings, they say, is $9,869 if, like, you had bought all the magazines and the books and the tutor stuff.
Dang!
I know!
How did you learn this and how do we access this?
Timeout.com has an article about it. It sounds like I'm shilling everything that I'm talking about right now because of my announcer voice.
Good information.
But there's a Timeout article about your LA library card can save you thousands of dollars. Here's how.
That's amazing.
I know! I didn't know all of these free things you fucking get.
Remember that time I checked out that book about financial prudence and then it was overdue and I owed $47 in library fees? It was literally like is it Susie Orman?
That is the ironicest thing I've ever heard about.
It was so painful. The book cost $15 in stores. I got it out of the library because it was a book about saving money.
I mean, the money went to a good cause.
Sure did. You know what? That buys $9,000 worth of free magazines on how to make your credit better. Credit's fine, but I said it. Allie Ward, you're a dummy.
Does library overcharges affect your credit?
No, God, no.
It should. People would turn in books more often. Wait, what did you learn this week?
That is awesome, though. I want to access those things now.
Yeah, me too.
I learned something that, unlike a lot of my facts, this is actually pertinent to your interests.
Yay.
This is not a bug thing. It's not something that I can barely explain in physics. But it's in a shitty way that it's pertinent to your interest, and I hate that I know this. But
it's about murder, isn't it?
No. So, okay, the rate of car accidents. This is great. This news was great, I was so excited to tell you about this.
Okay.
The rate of car accidents from 2007 to 2014 dropped like 25%.
Holy shit.
Like, fatalities and car accidents were like, it's around 30,000 a year in the U.S. Like,
is it because we're not allowed to use cell phones anymore?
Well, here's the thing.
Okay.
2015, huge spike.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm sure it has to do with distracted driving. It must. Because
huge spike in 2015?
I think what happened was great airbags, great technology, and then the internet occurred.
Right.
But there's a crazy spike in 2015 and I haven't seen the numbers for it.
I still want to know are there less accidents because Uber's around?
Right.
So people are driving. I don't know. That's really cool.
There's less drunk driving.
That makes me feel better.
Well, the rates of fatalities in accidents too are much higher, especially drunk driving in like Wyoming and like
because they don't wear seatbelts.
Because they go to the saloons out there and they drink their pints and then they can't Uber.
Wear a seatbelt always.
That's also true. That there's anyway, but it's going down and you have less to worry about because you live in not a rural area and you don't drink and drive.
Yay! All of those things are things I don't want.
Yay.
So that's great.
Let's see what our guest.
Let's introduce our guest.
Please do.
Our guest is the loveliest person. We met her at a dinner party, which sounds so fancy. Her name is Claire Thomas, and she is Kitschy Kitchen. She's a cookbook author, she's a director, and she's a producer, and she makes the raddest content online and on TV and in cookbook form. Claire!
Hi!
Tell us what you learned.
What'd you learn this week?
Oh, man. Well, first I learned that I don't own pajamas.
You came over in an outfit and you're like, these are my pajamas.
I came over in a smoking jacket because that's the closest thing I could find to pajamas in my house. I feel like I just wear baggy it's like college. I just wear baggy t-shirts and boxer shorts. So I'm like, I don't have any appropriate. I kind of want to buy a pair of evening pajamas, like hostess pajamas.
Yeah, I don't sleep in this. This is my when I get home, I put this on.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I have too. I have these really ratty sweatpants and then a very comfortable old man's cashmere sweater.
Yeah.
Oh, cashmere sweater.
What do you sleep in, Ellie?
Typically, I will take my bra off and I'll fling it as far across my home as I can. And then underpants.
Yeah.
I'm kind of usually.
I don't want to sound sexy.
I know. It's not sexy, right?
No.
It's not. No, it's
there's
like
nothing sexy.
It's like
about
National
it.
Geographic. For yeah. Me. It's not sexy.
Yeah. It's like the underwear I can get away with living with someone else.
Exactly. It's like what is the threshold that they will still find me sort of desirable.
I have a problem throwing away underwear because I don't want people to find them in my trash. So a lot of my underwear should be in the fucking trash.
Who's going through the trash?
I see people going through my trash all the time. They're invisible people.
You know what you need to do is you need to put it in you need to put your underwear in the bottom of a sack of chili or something.
Whenever I clean the cat box, I'm like, what can I throw away in here that I don't need people to see.
So you have an actual fear of underwear gnomes.
I do.
Yeah. Who knows how they may profit?
And those are called creeps. That's underwear gnomes.
That's accurate.
What if you could get rid of them by commerce and you sold them, you knew they went to a good home?
Do you have a
I wish I could do that.
I mean, on eBay it'd be interesting to see what happens with that,
but I think you have to send a photo of you in the underwear.
No,
which
I think the creepier thing the creepier thing is you don't wash them and you'll get a lot more money.
You make I know you make some girls I know online make $80 a pair more if they send photos of themselves wearing it and working out in it, you guys.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's a lot.
I know.
That's a lot. Well, the thing is, if you let's say that you are wearing Victoria's Secret underwear, can't you just go to the catalog, take a picture of someone in the catalog and be like, this was me. Come on.
I have the same body as Chanel Iman. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
So you learned you didn't have pajamas. You came over in a crisp, clean, cream-colored blazer.
A linen.
A silky ladies' smoking jacket.
Right.
Yeah. I was so hoping to have a pair of silk pajamas discovered in my back of my closet. I don't. I thought someone just might put them there, and no one did. So, yes.
Pajama fairy.
The pajama fairy.
Visited you.
Wouldn't that be amazing if that was a thing? God. Yes. But the thing I learned this week, so I'm a voracious reader. I always have three books in the hopper. And I guess I love food history. And one of my favorite food history tidbits that I learned this week is about some of the earliest how we have the FDA. Mm-hmm. So the earliest food laws that are on the books, actually written down and put into municipal law, is in Venice, Italy. Mm-hmm. And it's in the early medieval period. So I believe it's 12th, 13th century.
Yeah, that's earlier than I would think it would be.
No, it is, right? I mean, I actually was surprised the Romans weren't a little more on top of that, to be completely honest.
That's true.
That seems odd. And maybe they were because they wrote cookbooks and, whatever. But anyway, so I guess for municipal policy, though, mm-hmm. Venice takes it. And this is the most sort of medieval Venice tidbit I've ever heard. In my head it plays a Looney Tunes cartoon. Oh, where apparently fishmongers were a little sketchy. They were known for being kind of maybe the fish isn't so fresh. Oh. And there was this rule that you weren't allowed to put water on your fish at the fish market to make it appear fresher.
Ooh.
Right?
But then here's dewy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Fish.
But here's the interesting wrinkle and tidbit.
Oh, no.
In order to bypass this law, the fishmongers would get into pretend arguments that would end with someone picking up a bucket. Sorry, I'm realizing that I'm doing a lot of hand motions right now that
great.
No one can see. but they would pick up a bucket and as the crescendo to this argument, be like, ah, basta. And then cover the next fishmonger in a bucket of water, like the end of a Marx Brothers sketch, and of course spilling water everywhere.
Love it.
And then, you know, the police officer would come over and yell at everybody, like, you got water on your fish, and they're like, it was an accident, you know. And
and then they're like, here's a free fish, bro.
And, and he's like, I don't want your old fish. I don't want your old fish.
I feel like I would hang out at a fishmonger all day. It's like a show.
No, it sounds like it's dinner and a show.
Yeah. I was afraid you were going to say that they just smeared them with like oil or something. Because like, lame. It's not water. But a pretend, that's so Italian, it's, though.
Is that not the most, like, you can see this happening in your head. You're like, this is perfect.
Oh, what did those fishmonger smell like, do you think?
Oh, and the fish smell like?
Well, also, I mean, like, first off, Venice itself smells to begin with. So then you just double down with the fact that it's medieval times and then triple down with the fact that it's a fish market.
I can't wait to see what the, like, in 100 years, what the laws are, where they're like, can you believe they just trusted the butcher to like be cutting the meat that they said they
would. Well, you think about like lead paint and asbestos, and you know, for me, I'm probably like, oh yeah, like gel nail polish is probably not the best idea.
I have some vintage glasses where I'm like, should I be drinking it? Like, they have designs on them that's probably made of lead.
Oh, there's all kinds of things. Aluminum can. We're all killing ourselves, but it's fine.
You know what? We're looking great while doing it.
We are.
We don't look like we're deteriorating from the inside.
No, we're not. We're rotting.
But that's what all the plumpers are for.
Yes.
Yeah. So my mom told me that when she, after she had like her first kid, that the doctor was like, well, you gained a little weight, just smoke a little more. Like, what the fuck?
Amazing.
Oh my God. That wasn't even that long ago.
Nope. I know. Because I was born in 95. So.
Right. Yeah, so that was literally like yesterday. Yeah. That's crazy.
Right.
Isn't
that the creepiest?
I love that.
I have a new.
Did he say it while smoking?
I hope so.
Blowing it in her face. Like ashing in the corner of a.
I have a new slumber party game. Okay, so we always play slumber party games. This one I saw online that someone else put up, and I'm like, this is the best. So, okay, the question is, you've been kidnapped, and the last person who blank has been sent to save you. So we could either say the last person you saw on TV, or the last person you'd called on the phone, or texted. What should it be?
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's do someone famous then, because that's more fun. So
I think song's funny.
Song? Okay. So, Allie, you're kidnapped, and the last person whose song you listen to.
So screwed. It would be Sia, and she'd be in a wig that covers her face, and she wouldn't be able to help me at all.
Yeah, but I bet you think of a really creative way to dance you out of there.
I would be in a nude leotard, per Sia's recommendations. But yeah, no, she would be like, her face obscured. She'd be like, where's the door? I'm here to help you.
The best part is that Shia LaBeouf would be your kidnapper in that scenario.
Oh. Did you guys see that video?
Which video?
The Shia LaBeouf lit video? What? I know I'm way behind on
wait,
this.
Wait, which one you mean? Like
the Sia in
like,
the cage?
Shia LaBeouf. Oh, no, you're talking about. Oh, yeah, the Sia cage one. Yeah, it's amazing.
You guys, I just watched it like a week ago.
You were like, late on this. Like,
it was so good.
Yes, it was.
I am
that
a
was
grandmother.
That was the consensus of 2015 as well. So.
I didn't know.
That was one of my fuck that's was going to be a song of hers.
Oh, shit. Don't say it.
Okay.
Or say it.
I think I listened to Cheap Thrills, which is her latest, Sia's latest single on Spotify, like maybe 30 times yesterday. And I realized I had it on a playlist that just kept repeating.
Oh,
but
no.
I was like, I kept being like, love this song. And then I was like, oh, I've listened to this song 40 times. Anyway, it's really good. Cheap Thrills by Sia. But who would, oh, why? Who would take it?
Yeah. I really doubt anyone can beat me on this one.
Mozart? Who is it?
No, it's Rihanna.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh God, have you seen the Bitch Better Have My Money video?
Yeah.
No, so, I don't watch videos.
Georgia!
I know!
Zeitgeist. Anyway, but I have the song. So I have a puppy who's very snorky. Like he's like a little, it's like if you combine like a piglet and a terrier. Like,
I love the description of snorky because I totally get
it. You can hear it, right? And so he's very cute. And my husband and I, our favorite thing to do with him is we hold him by his paws and make him booty dance. And for some reason, the song that always comes out is like, work, 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 work. And then we go snork, 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 snork. Like, and it just turns into like, it's turned into our poor dog's theme song. I don't know how or why. But so yeah, I've heard work, work, work. Like, just so many freaking times at this point.
I feel like Rihanna would come save you and look so fucking hot.
Oh my God, she'd look amazing. And I bet Drake would be the getaway driver.
Yeah, I know.
I ship them so hard.
I feel like I can see a ninja kick to the face with her heels on.
Oh, 100%. But she'd be like blazing too. Totally. It'd be just like crazy.
Oh, she's
the thing about it is as soon as she saved you, she'd be like, bye. And she just would not hang out with you.
No.
Anymore.
She
wouldn't go get a drink.
I mean,
with
look
you.
At this. There's no way she's hanging out with me. My biggest charm at a dinner party is like, I can talk to you about Venetian municipal law as it is, as it goes towards the fish market. Yeah, it's I have this little list in my head of people I love who would hate me.
And that's a good slumber party game too. Who's your number one?
Like, who do you love and who would bitterly hate you? Yeah. Definitely Rihanna's way up there where I'm like, Rihanna would just not like me whatsoever, but I would not care. I would like, yes sir, may I have another? I don't care.
I feel like Justin Timberlake wouldn't want to hang out with me. Like, I think I'm a charming person, but I feel like in reality he'd be like, absolutely not, you're 35, get away from me.
Really? Yeah. No, he seems so, he appreciates comedy, perhaps.
But I feel like it's also, like, I feel like his humor is a very specific type of humor.
Yeah.
And you know when you just don't gel with someone, like, you'll make a reference and they'll be like, I'm sorry, what? And you're just like, oh,
oh my God. That's why I can't date guys my own age. Because their references, I mean, and I'm married, but.
Yeah.
That's one contractual reason.
Or why, yeah.
No,
wait, Georgia, who would save you?
Oh, I wouldn't be saved. I would be killed because Belle and Sebastian would not be able to save me from shit. They would sit and cry in a corner and I would end up saving them.
But you have this amazing, like, song over the epilogue of your life. It'd be so sad.
And then I would dance my way out of there towards the end because it would get poppy.
It'd be like, I would be this, to have this triumphant, that's how they would save you.
Yeah, I would get, the captors would be like, I want to dance to this. And I'd be like, me too. And then we'd all dance.
I feel like it's just end credits. How great would it be though if you died and there were just end credits?
I wonder what your end. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, what's the end? This is a good morbid slumber party game, but what's the song that goes over the end credits of your life?
I think a slumber party, a Belle and Sebastian song would.
I think it would be the Smiths' Sing Me to Sleep, probably.
Mm. Oh, maybe. That's really good.
Or Meet Cemetery Gates by Smiths, maybe. But it would
definitely be a Smiths song.
Wouldn't it be weird if it just end credits and it was like created by like mom and dad? And it's like best friend, like biggest heartbreak by.
Shot by boyfriend.
Yeah. Exactly.
Celebrity who hated her.
Shot by boyfriend.
No alleys were filmed in the making of this life. Yeah. But like a little. Were hurt in the.
Right. Just a tiny bit hurt.
Heart.
Wait, I was going to ask you. Oh, that was leading me to another question for you, Georgia, and I can't remember. Oh yeah, what celebrities would hate you? Think Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, would hate you.
I don't think Gwyneth Paltrow would hang out with me.
But do you like her?
Does she hang out with anybody?
I feel like as soon as I went into, I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow would think I smelled bad, no matter how good I tried to smell.
Who would hate us, even though we're like, I love you. All three of us. Maybe not you as much, Claire, but definitely wouldn't want to hang out with me, Martha Stewart.
Oh my God. Yes, that's actually true. I met Martha and one of my girlfriends was with me and I immediately was just like, Martha she was very gracious and lovely, but not, we were not having a love connection. My friend next to me though, they were chit-chatting for like 15 minutes.
No.
And like BFFs. And I turned to my friend afterwards, I was like, did you just replace me with Martha Stewart?
You know who I think I've heard hates everyone, even though everyone thinks she wants me, including my mom, Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh,
yeah.
She hates you, you guys.
I understand that she is, she keeps a guard up.
Yep.
I'll say.
I would also say every male food writer that I'm obsessed with. Because every male food writer I love is cranky. And kind of old, and I feel like, older, and so I feel like they're kind of like these, to me, these lovable, like, rumpled curmudgeons, and I just love their point of view, and they're like acerbic wit and that kind of thing.
I like that too!
And I'm like, oh my God, you guys, I have my vintage cookbooks, my vintage dresses, and we should totally have martinis! No, I would sound like a yappy terrier in the room, and they would be like, who invited her? She has cupcakes, make her leave. Like,
I was going to say, I actually did call Anthony Bourdain an irascible curmudgeon to his face.
And how did he react?
Did he love it? I bet he likes a little bit of abuse if you like.
He blanched a little, and I don't think he liked it.
Oh, God.
But I was interviewing him, and I was asking if his reputation as an irascible curmudgeon was accurate.
Did you do an emphatic eye wink?
I thought that he would know that it was a gentle
question, but he had very soft hands. I will say that about him, but he did not appreciate
it. There was a moment in one of his shows, the not the second show, what's it called? Anyways, he had like a blogger take him to get a Chicago hot dog, and they both got hot dogs, and it was this like cute like food blogger, and I'm sure his producer was like, we have to get some like people who are in the know and like in the lexicon to like take you out, and he was like, let me have a bite of your hot dog, because I got different ones, and she gave it to him. She's like, can I have a bite of yours? And he was like, no. And it was like so devastating to like see her try to like get past that, because he was straight up like, absolutely not, you fucking nerd, I'm not giving you a bite of this.
Maybe he has OCD. Delicious. It's possible. Wait, let's ask Perfect Day, what do you think about that?
Perfectly, yeah, slumber party question, Perfect Day.
Because I feel like you're so put together. Mm-hmm. You have a lovely blog. What would be your perfect day? Day to night, you can do anything, you can be anywhere, you can look put together, or you can look rumpled. It's totally your call.
But I'm still myself.
You're yourself.
I can't like pretend. I can't be someone else. I can't be Rihanna.
No, but you can get into like, you can get into the Soho house and like, you can do whatever you want.
Right. All right, cool. Well, I think like real life version versus fantasy version. Like real life version, like I joke with my husband that when he's out of town, it's like I have the flu and I'm breaking up with him simultaneously. And that's like my baseline, where I have no bra, no makeup, my hair is disgusting, my cat is always on my body in some way, and I eat popcorn for dinner. And it's wonderful. And I watch I watch the entirety of the Pride and Prejudice miniseries with Colin Firth, and then cap it off with, because I cannot not cry in this movie, Sense and Sensibility.
Oh my God.
In the end with Edward, I'm like right now getting a little emotional thinking about it. But no, so that's like my actual normal day, which I've lived that life and it's glorious. And Postmates is involved quite a bit.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
It's a problem. But I would be like that. I think there's a term for it in Japanese culture of like, there's an issue with millennials who like actually won't leave their apartment. And I'm like, that would be, I would totally love that. I would love to be a weird hermit. But no, I think, in terms of fantasy, I would love to, did you guys ever read the book, The Mysterious Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler?
No.
What?
What's wrong with us?
No, but you know when you're a kid and you assume everyone had to read all the same books, like in fifth grade, you're like, wait, you didn't read like Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry? Right. I feel like my school made us read like second tier, no offense to those books, but you know what I mean? Like not like Old Man in the Sea, like we read other books, I guess.
We read Bunicula.
See, I missed that.
It's about a vampire rabbit. Don't worry about it.
That's fantastic. So The Mysterious Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler is basically like, when I read that book, I was like, oh no, this has already been a fantasy of mine. And I've now, someone wrote the book about it. Fantastic.
Oh my God, what is it?
It's two children who run away from home and live in the museum.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Come on, it's amazing, right?
That, I think.
It's the best.
I didn't, but I would like to live that.
I would love as an adult to be locked in to
which
like
museum.
Oh God, that's such a hard question.
Maybe you can do a new one every hour.
Just be a crazy person. Oh, I know. Like, I mean, to me, it's like, cause for me, it's really about being in the home goods area. Cause like, I love good art, right? But I also care a lot more about like Marie Antoinette's bed. Yeah, like I'd rather, and then like her china.
That is interesting because it's stuff they use probably not day to day, but like the stuff they lived around instead of just the stuffy old art that
exactly.
was on the wall that they looked
like,
at.
I don't need to be like in Ferris Bueller staring at a painting and like that's my night. Like that's not my thing. But jumping on Marie Antoinette's bed, wearing one of her wigs. Apparently the champagne coupe is based off of the size of her breast.
I heard that.
Yeah, so I would know. There'd be a test happening. I would definitely be curious how I stack
you
up.
Do that.
It's my that's my nerd version. Instead of people measuring their like Marilyn Monroe's foot in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I would totally measure my boobs against my.
What would be a real life? Because we've done our fantasy. What would be a real life perfect day?
Real life perfect day? I think. It has to occur. Okay, I guess Big Sur. I'd be in Big Sur.
Okay.
I'd wake up in this thing called the Nest, which is a human-sized bird nest you can sleep in overlooking a cliff.
That is so cool.
They also have yurts there, and there would be coffee involved, but for some reason the caffeine wouldn't make me feel scared or nervous. And there'd be lots of pastries. And there'd be a human being with a penis who liked me.
Let's review really quick. This is not the fantasy one. That's the best part, is you said, we've already done the fantasy one, so this is my reality one. It's a human bird's nest.
Yeah, this is
all
possible.
And like caffeine-free coffee that tastes great.
That's true. I mean, it's possible. Like, someone is doing that right now.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow is waking up in this human bird nest. You could someone's sleeping in it tonight, with or without a companion. But there's also a dog.
This is realistic. A dog as well. Yeah.
Oh, but realistic? I don't know.
That's realistic. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that something that could actually happen to you in the next couple months?
It's hard because you're like, this is realistic for some people, right. But is it like being like, oh, I'd get on my private jet? Like, some people are like, yeah, I would just get on my private jet. But other people, not so much. But I would be camping in Big Sur. What would you?
I think mine would be more similar to yours, where I love being home. So I would wake up, actually like a typical Saturday, where I wake up, I sleep in, cats come cuddle with me, I get up, Vince has made coffee, we don't fucking leave the house all day, and we order sushi and watch, well, I can't do this with him, but we watch murder shows, which he's not interested in.
What?
Yeah. Well, he'll watch with me, you know?
He'll like placate you a little bit.
Yeah, the way I am with wrestling. Yeah. I'll watch it with him. I enjoy it, but he's not as excited about death. So we'd watch death shows.
Do you think he would be into like gladiatorial death matches? Like, if there were something, a hybrid of like actual Roman, like fight to the death, would you guys both be into it because it's wrestling and murder?
Me no, and him no. Especially if there are snakes involved. He hates snakes. Oh, and then, but I would do, this is so stupid. I would do shit around the house that I've been meaning to do.
Oh, that's such a, yes.
Like, I painted my bathroom door the other day, and it was like the most satisfying thing.
I'm really looking forward to tomorrow because I'm going to reorganize my bathroom cabinet.
That sounds incredible.
It's amazing. I think I might be living a better life than Rihanna if that happens.
Do you listen to music or a podcast or something when you do that?
I was just going to ask that.
You know what's crazy? I love music. I love jazz specifically, but I'm like a weirdo it never occurs to me to put anything on. I'm always operating in like completely austere silence. And if I'm in my car, it's always NPR. It's always KPCC. I'm always like, it's news. Always
me
news.
Too, except lately it's been real depressing. The
news has been a bit bleak. Yeah, a little bit.
I say that it's been depressing, and yet I'm listening to a book about finding dead bodies that have been buried. That is less depressing to me than NPR.
Yeah, I think maybe your baseline. I think if you raise the baseline, maybe you'd be able to handle it. But yeah, I get in those moods too, where you're like, I get it. It's terrible. I'll check back next week.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
But organizing something quietly is almost like meditation.
It is, yeah. It's so, oh gosh. I haven't read that book. The book that everyone's like, you have to read.
Magical Business of Tiny.
Yes.
Oh, I totally bought that.
See,
but I didn't.
I want to read that because I'm not a dirty person, but I'm an extremely messy person.
I just have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have closets that I think about when I shouldn't be thinking about them. I'll be enjoying a perfectly nice day, and then I'll just be like, that fucking closet, man. Yeah. But I don't know. You have to get really motivated. I think it's so hard when you have to prioritize, because then you're like, well, I should probably file my taxes before I put all my clothes in color order. But sometimes it's more fun.
Actually,
speaking of your bathroom.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you in particular, because we never ask this question anymore.
Oh, wow.
Favorite grooming product or tip? Oh. Secret.
Oh, this is so fun. I guess I'd say I have like two. One is like, for me, what I'm loving right now is the Anastasia brow pomade. It's weird sounding, but I am a redhead, so I don't have eyebrows really. And this is actually kind of funny. So I was like, Ingrid, our like mutual friend, formerly like Ms. Glamorazzi, took a photo of me. This is years ago, took a photo of me and posted on her Instagram. And because she's so like gorgeous and tan with these amazing eyebrows, and I am so pale, I'm a human bounce card, that her followers, like a bunch of them, were like, where are her eyebrows?
Oh,
like,
no. Come on,
like in it throughout. And I was like, God damn it. And like, I'm thirsty enough that I totally read every single comment.
You do that?
I'm not popular enough to be above that. Like, I definitely read all
I'll read it on certain, I'll read it on Instagram and Twitter, but I won't read it anywhere else.
Like, where else other than Instagram?
Well, if there's like an open Facebook page or, comments on a video, I won't read them.
Oh, yeah. Video comments are, that's a dark, dark
hole. Oh, I go in there.
Yeah.
I go in there and I engage with people. It's pretty funny. I get asked, this is a sidebar, like from the eyebrow pomade, but I get asked constantly if I'm pregnant. And
what?
Constantly. And I am
what
in.
The fuck? Unless you see a baby coming out of someone's vagina. Yeah.
Literally. Well, the thing that shocks me about it is I am in 50 layers of Spanx. So there's no way. Like, I have, like, it's like the rigging of, like, a 18th century ship is underneath my dresses. Like, I am so, like, nothing's popping out. So the idea of me appearing pregnant is horrifying from a vanity level. But I also find it just such a completely inappropriate, invasive question that you would never, it's a medical issue to me. Like, you would never ask someone if they have a disease or if they're about, like, waning health. Like, you wouldn't walk up to a guy and say, hey, how's your prostate
doing?
Or,
like, how did you lose your leg?
Yeah.
You would never do that.
You would never do that. So with a woman, it's like, it's her body. If she wants to share this with you, she'll establish the conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I got a message. You know, you get those messages from people who you're not friends with on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
I stopped reading those, and I'm not gonna lie, one of the reasons I got Invisalign was because of a mean comment this girl said to me. Like, I think she kind of started, which I don't usually listen to mean people, especially if they're strangers, or like people's opinions if they're strangers, but she said, it looks like your parents let you suck your pacifier too long when you were a kid. What's wrong with your teeth? Lol. Like, lol, ha ha ha. And I like wrote back and I was like, fuck you. But then I went and got Invisalign.
Did you make sure that she wasn't like an evil person that was just had a masquerading account? That like,
even if she is, she's kind of right. So,
well, I mean, that's why I now smoke and drink on camera all the time, so no one asks if I'm pregnant.
Just punch yourself in the stomach all the
time. I throw myself down staircases all the time, like, so no one asks.
Okay, what's your sex? Because also our listeners should know that your fucking skin is dewy as shit.
Oh, hey.
And like dewy and beautiful and, oh my God, and unwrinkled.
So first thing is I don't go in the sun. I am like I'm a vampire without the perks of being a vampire, without the immortality. I just with the, you know, sun condition, I guess. But no, the two things I use, actually, my sister is obsessed with skincare. Her nickname is Cashmere Paws.
Cashmere Paws.
Her hands are like little cashmere paws.
My hands are always like scaly.
No, it's like you hold her hand and you're like, holy shit, it's like a paw made of cashmere. And like her friend came up with a nickname and I was like, that is the perfect nickname for Amanda. So she's turned me on to a bunch of stuff. The first one, which is not really skincare, but it is like an amazing, amazing tool, it's by RMS Beauty. And this British, I believe, makeup artist came up with this line. It's all safe, like made with coconut oil, blah, blah, blah. But the main thing about it is it's this illuminator and the minerals in it are just so fine that it doesn't look like shimmer or sparkle. It just looks like your skin is actually glowing from the inside out.
I need this.
I know. So you buy it and then all I do is I put like cheekbone, because I don't have cheekbones. I don't have any like bone structure on my face. But cheekbones, chin, Cupid's bow, bridge of nose, a little bit on the forehead, and then I use my beauty blender and just like blend it in, and all of a sudden it looks like just like, oh my God, I'm just so hydrated. It's
wait a second, this is why people think you're pregnant,
because I'm that is a made up thing that people tell pregnant ladies to make them feel better about being pregnant. That's
no,
not
they,
a thing
they say that though.
But I think that's weird to be like, for the jump on that logic, her skin looks amazing, to be like, oh, what moisturizer do you use? Or do you have something in your uterus? Like, I just think it's such a strange.
It's inappropriate.
It's such a weird logic.
Are your hormones going fucking crazy right now?
Like, I mean, what's your, like, I just can't
it's
with that.
It's just from the neck. They're like, from the neck up, you look so happy.
Yeah.
And so, but the funny thing about you is, like, the instant we met you, like, the fact that you didn't start speaking with a British accent was shocking to me. Because you are, like, the most, you look like you are a total, like, British aristocracy. Like,
oh,
it's amazing that I'm like, oh, she's American? How did that happen? Go look up a picture of Claire. She does not look like our people, like, hairy and sallow. And, like, not, no offense, America. That's what we are.
That's amazing.
But, okay, so RMS?
RMS.
Okay.
Like as if, like, it's, I don't know, it sounds like a ship from Royal Navy. But yeah, RMS, and that will kind of cover, that will make you look like you have been actually keeping care of your skin, which I don't usually. I read this book called The French Beauty Solution, which I'm obsessed with.
Ooh.
It like, so I think like all Americans, I'm a little bit like francophilic, right? Like where you're just like, oh, Paris. Like you just assume everyone's better.
Coming from a woman with amazing skin in a striped shirt.
I wasn't lying that I'm francophilic. Yeah, I have a gross amount of stripe of Bretton Stripe shirts.
Me too. I have a striped section in my closet.
Oh my god, me too.
I do loads of stripes in the wash. I do loads of stripes.
You can always tell yourself you need another one because you're like, this one's a little different than the others.
Differently.
Yeah.
Just the
weight on it. It's great. But so the French Beauty Solution is by the founder of Caudalie. I can't speak French. Caudalie.
Oh, yeah.
They opened a spa in Venice, finally. Oh, but it's, so she's the most like chic, perfect. She's like a Gwyneth Paltrow French lady. So, you know, you hear her voice and you're just like, oh my God. Like, she was raised on a vineyard. She studied to be a perfumer.
And some of her tips are just like, well, that's never going to fucking happen.
Oh my God. Her tips are just so brilliant and simple. She's like, you know, honestly, like just grind up your own like grapeseed oil and just like put it on your face and then your face will just be amazing. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, but I want that. And I immediately go on Amazon for like, you know,
grapeseeds. Well, you know, it's the same thing as, it's basically the same as just drinking wine. So yeah, you might as well just drink wine.
No, I actually, she has a whole section in the back about how she does a grape cleanse, which apparently was a big thing. I didn't realize this in the 18th century. But you remember how like the spa, like the waters at Bath, how people would take waters at spas? So there was this whole movement of like holistic spa culture in the 18th and early 19th century. And that got completely changed with the, I guess like mechanization of like medical devices and things like that because of the industrial world. Sorry, I'm so becoming.
Jesus, I'm like, oh my God.
Sorry, I'm like exhausting. Anyway, so it's this cleanse. My point is the cleanse doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from spa culture from the 18th century because grapes are known obviously for their antioxidant qualities. They're a near perfect fruit, similar to coconut. You know, like meaning you can get almost everything from them. And so she goes on a grape cleanse every year for 3 days.
Wow. Only grapes?
Only grapes. She eats like 5 pounds of grapes a day.
Dang.
She lives on a vineyard. So, you know, like, come on. It's like organic and perfect. But
so don't get them at the 99 cent
store. No, you can't. Like, yeah, I know. In my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a bunch of seedless globes. And I think that'll be great. But yeah, she was describing this cleanse and how much it does like for your skin. And I actually was like flipping a little quicker to be like, I bet wine's allowed. And I'm like, I will do this if wine's allowed. If wine's allowed, I will eat a shitload of grapes and then drink a lot of wine. And that's the perfect cleanse.
I kind of want to try it for a day.
You can't do wine. I'm so sorry.
You can't do wine.
No, that's the bummer. She's like, wine's not allowed. I'm like, but it's just fermented grapes.
Can you do like a bunch of raisins and Dr. Pepper or that? Not okay.
I think that's the American version of the grape cleanse. Right. It sounds about right. But
grape flavored like
cola.
Cola. Yeah.
Grape soda.
Do that. So no wine, a lot of water. Grapes.
Yeah, it's like water and grapes. And if you do that for 3 days, your skin will be perfect.
What about all the yeasts that are on grapes?
Is
that a good thing?
I don't know.
Maybe I didn't know that.
I mean, it could be. Oh, I think it depends on, I don't know, yeast sensitivity and stuff. Right. But yeah, I mean, I guess for me, like back to the skincare thing, it's like, I don't do much of anything and I hide from the sun. And then I just, whatever my sister tells me to buy, I purchase.
I feel like everything wrong can start with sun damage. Starts from their wrinkles and sunspots and all, like that's two things I have. And it's only because of sun damage. SPF dogs. I've been wearing SPFs daily since high school, and there have been like 3 occasions where I left the house where I forgot, and I almost was like, do I go back home? Like, do I go buy some? Like, it's been so. But but I'm older, and LA is murder on your skin. It's dry and sunny, but
your skin's amazing though, and I feel really, like we're both these like porcelain doll. Like, we both look like kind of vampires.
My favorite thing is to fucking tan this hide.
I'm
scared of it.
I look like Diane Keaton at the beach.
I look so much better with a tan. I know I do. I want to wear a burka every time I go to Malibu.
My sister says because my parents live in Palm Springs, so every time we go out there, she's like, it looks like you're 75-year-old who got a facelift because I'm in like literally lighting, just the biggest glasses and the biggest hat and like a blanket, and like I look like FDR at the beach basically.
I love it. Okay, Claire, we hear you have a ghost story.
Yes. So as I mentioned, I am a voracious reader, and one of the books I'm reading right now is called The Witches.
The Witches.
So yes. And it's not really a ghost story, but it's a historical book about, it's written by Stacey Schiff, who's an amazing historian or historical writer rather. And she is going through the whole process of the Salem witch trials, basically depositions when they exist, going through every court document and doing all this historical analysis. It's super dry and I'm obsessed with it. So
basically, this is why, to me, I thought it'd be a really fun ghost story for this, because it is a true ghost story, and I think true ghost stories are the best ghost stories.
They're the best.
And it's ever. Really terrifying to read, honestly. It's absolutely bananas. So,
God, I can't wait.
Picture this. It's 1687. You're a lady in your 30s, and you've been widowed once, you're married again. You've had like probably given birth to 6 kids. 3 made it.
Jesus. Oh God. There's no soap. Is there even soap?
There's definitely, it's like aggressive lye soap. So probably not like a lovely, like charcoal Japanese one for your face or something.
Kill me.
And, in the not so distant past was an event called King Philip's War. And where they're pronounced the Wabanaki tribe, the chieftain was named King Philip by the Puritans who lived in Massachusetts and up in Maine. And it was a brutal, brutal war between the settlers and the Native Americans who were trying to protect their land. And it involved giant massacres of people. So you grew up watching everyone around you die in really brutal ways.
Holy man.
So just imagine the psychological burden of this, right? Like you've been surrounded by nothing but death and struggle.
Oh God.
And then on top of that, the number one thing that you fill your day thinking about is whether you're going to hell or not.
Oh. So it's like a blast.
Yeah. And also medicine is still in kind of the Four Humors era. And the supernatural is a really real thing to you. If your pig dies and you don't expect it to, maybe a witch did it.
Oh my God.
Your crop failed. Well, like maybe, you know, Satan's at play here.
Ugh, the super such grown core.
No, but but seriously, the supernatural is a vibrant, active part. And as a Puritan, you believe the apocalypse is coming shortly. And so you really are on the front lines of heaven and hell.
Wow.
And you're watching it play out in agricultural minutiae. And that's kind of the funny wrinkle to me, is it's like, I don't see how Satan's gaining a lot of wins by corn failing, but cool. Anyway, so there's all this tension. Everyone's always, there's a lot of like neighborhood infighting. Everyone's in everyone's business. And that's just sort of the nature of the Puritan structure of like culture and society back then. So out of nowhere, I guess I'd say like ladies from the ages like of 10 to 20, they're servant girls. They're some of them have been orphaned. So they're women of little means, children of little means, some of them. They start to say that, I saw you prick me with a pin. You're a witch. And you go, what are you talking about? I was at my house the other day. I wasn't there. She's like, no, I know you physically weren't there, but an apparition of you was there. And I saw you nurse your familiar, your cat, on your breast. And so you told me you threatened to murder me and throw me into the fire if I didn't sign your book. So literally they just will start making things up.
Quick question.
Yes.
The orphaned servant girls are making this up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And they're about the widowed.
Exactly.
Okay. Just checking which way it went.
No, exactly. And so what happens is it starts off with these orphan servant girls having fits. So they're having these crazy tantrums. They're going dumb. They're babbling. They try to fly themselves out of windows. They're screaming. They're having these really aggressive fits.
Sounds like a terrible rave.
No, right. It's just like, it's like a Monday. It's horrible. But anyway, so between all of this, like this really crazy dramatic behavior and then these flying accusations, as a modern reader, I read this and think, oh, well, these are these disenfranchised young women who are really scared and have major PTSD and are trying to place blame on people who have more than they have, or on people that they know are easy targets. And this is the thing that gets crazy. So as a modern reader, you would think, so surely these girls, you know, got completely ignored and people were like, oh, well, you know, no, like, that lady was not where she was when you said,
bitches
like,
are crazy.
Yeah, bitches be crazy. No, they actually become star witnesses And I believe it's like over 20 men and women are hung by the neck until they die because they were all claimed to be witches. Oh. And reading this, it's insane because a lot of these were people who were like old ladies in their 70s, grandmothers, great grandmothers, people who were major citizens who fought in wars and armies and like who were, you know, started big businesses in the area, like from these very important families. They all got taken down because you can't, it wasn't innocent till proven guilty back then. It was basically, well, prove to me you're innocent. And how can you do that when you're talking about the supernatural?
Right.
Because this really insidious idea kind of crept into it that the devil could make a witch not know they were a witch.
Or if, like, say they did kill one woman and then the crops didn't fail that year, then it's like, see, they did that, right?
Exactly, yeah. And also it's this idea of, well, like, this is the part I just find bizarre, is that the witches in this whole situation, there's, it's so scattered and it's so random, like, in terms of, like, the who get accused as witches, that I kind of don't understand still what they thought witches were gaining from this arrangement. Because the truth of the matter is these witches, like, they all like have lived through the same brutality that everybody else did. They don't have like necessarily a lot more money or a lot more resources or are like better living than anybody else. So it just seems odd to, I don't know. I just found this whole mess in history so terrifying and so crazy. And it's something out of like,
not that long ago, really.
I mean, you think it's a couple hundred years, but yeah. And it's America's first horror story. You know, it's in our...
I heard that there might have been some plants in the area that they were eating that caused... It was like a hallucinogen.
It was... this popped up a couple of times. Yeah. This idea also pops up when it comes to saints and miracles from the medieval period. And the idea is basically there's this mold that grows on types of wheat and like rye bread especially. So in Eastern Europe, this is a thing. But there's actually a very funny thing with the timing of Lent specifically. The reason why there's a forced sort of starvation period leading up to Easter is because that is the leanest time of the year when it comes to the agricultural cycle.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there's a utility to having it be Lent because you're already starving anyway, might as well be also doing it for God. And so
wasn't it also from history, like, because it was almost beach bod season and like Coachella and stuff, like,
it definitely had to do a lot with Coachella.
Season's
a big part of it.
So but in olden times, did they give up like bread for Lent, or
bread was truly especially in Western Europe, and I guess I'd say like for settlers as well, bread or forms of bread were a major staple diet.
Even beer.
Well, beer is liquid bread. You know, so it was a staple diet because it could actually be made very easily, very quickly, and also it didn't tend to spoil. You know. So, but no, there is the theory that the mold on the bread that they were eating during lean times could have like an LSD style.
So the little girls who were doing these things and making these things up, quote, really weren't. They were high as fuck.
Yeah.
Being like, I saw you actually do this, and they really did.
I would say less that I don't think it was necessary. I personally don't think that it was from being high off of like that mold on the thing. I think it was a combination of PTSD and mass hysteria and apocalyptic thinking.
I just wish I wanted to be blamed so badly on like that they believed it somehow. The girls, because it just seems so wrong to make that shit up.
I'm sure the girls did believe it, right?
Oh, they definitely believed it. But this is the other thing to think about. I mean, I feel like we are very disconnected from this because we are constantly surrounded by screens, and because the impossible can happen. Like, a man's been on the moon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we live in such a different time that I feel like for these girls, the imagination must have been so potent and powerful. Like, do you remember being a little kid and being scared and how you could kind of see things that weren't there?
Or dreams, even.
Yeah,
even
dreams. Yeah.
Oh, this is the best one. Some of the men in the village, well, there are two townships, but anyway, so the men who became star witnesses, they would use for lack of better phrasing, but like wet dreams as a way to accuse women of being witches.
Oh,
you were in my dream last night trying to seduce me, so you're a witch. And the ladies would be like, what? Ew. Oh. And also, what? No. And then, yeah, but all these things that we would completely find ridiculous was used as hard evidence. That's what's crazy, is this was used, someone's ravings would be used as hard evidence that was irrefutable.
I'm glad we only have shit like the O.J. Simpson trial today.
Well, I know. It's the funny thing is, like, you can still have star witnesses who misremember things and
totally.
And all of that. But can you, how, what, one erroneous hornball can send a lady to hanging?
No, I know. It's incredible. And just reading this and thinking about the fact that it's 20 people and of pretty high standing in the community were killed for something. But then it goes to this thing of, you just wonder, like, God, like, it felt to me, it just felt really upside down and like almost Kafka-esque. Like, I was like, this is insanity, but it's absolutely terrifying. And it is, it is America's earliest horror story.
I want to go to Salem and do a little ghost hunting.
I bet you'd love it there.
Is it, have you been to Salem, Massachusetts?
I've actually, I've never been to Massachusetts, period. Full stop.
Get your lobster on.
I know. It's so bad.
There's just lobsters everywhere you look.
I have this now image of the mayor of Boston is a lobster.
It's actually accurate.
That's true.
It's as accurate. A lobster with a Boston accent.
75 years old. He weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Boston. Like a Southie lobster.
Should we do fuck that?
Let's
do it.
Okay. We always end the show with fuck that. It's one thing we love so much. We want to lay down and slow bone, in Allie's words. And bone one thing we hate so much, we're like, fuck that. That was so you. Everything I just said was like how you say it.
Thank you for doing that.
No problem. So let's start with one thing we hate so we can end on a positive note.
Yeah,
Claire, that's nice.
What do you hate?
Oh God. Like so many things. I feel like all of my friendships are based off of mutual hatred of things.
What's one thing that has affected you this week that hate?
It's a communication thing, and it happens like sometimes in the comments on YouTube or wherever. It's this, I don't know what this is. I think it's just because of, the internet and whatever. But that need for people to do that whole, I'm just being real vibe.
Wow.
I hate that so much because it is the most unnecessary defensive posturing. And it's also trying to wash your hands of consequences of what you're choosing to say. I also hate when people don't understand what the First Amendment is. That annoys the shit out of me. Where I'm like, no, the government's not allowed to silence you. You still have consequences for saying stupid shit. Like if you say something offensive and dumb, people are allowed to be mad at you.
Yeah, that's not the First Amendment.
Yeah, that's not the First Amendment. That is a completely separate, that's about the government not being able to imprison you for speaking out against it or for what you're saying. But people are allowed to think you're an asshole.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mine's similar of an online thing.
What?
I hate when, and I hate, I don't want to say this because I don't want to shame women, but I hate when women post a photo of themselves and it's a good photo and the comment is a negative, like, look at my big gross man hands, or like a good photo where they can't be like, I had fun doing this thing. It has to be like, oh my God, my wonky eyes. Like they have to insult themselves when they post a photo of themselves. And I wish we didn't do that.
It's like Amy Schumer talking about how hideous she is all the time.
Right.
And it's like, girl, you're real cute.
Yeah. And even if it's like, no one noticed your fucking man hand that's large. No one noticed, and like, it's not. And you look adorable. So just be like, and you're posting an adorable photo of yourself.
Well, it's the act of posting. And I think that's the thing. It's the girls so rarely, or women rather, I think can feel like they're allowed to have ownership over the image of themselves in a way that's positive, where they're allowed to put something out there and say, hey, world.
I feel good about myself.
I think I look great. Or even just put it out there without comment.
Totally.
Like that, the fact that they have to sort of apologize or undercut it so that they don't want there to be this perception of, I don't know, what, they're confident?
Right.
Like,
Right. Like, it's okay that you posted this because you hate yourself a little for something.
Exactly.
I think it's like people want to fly in low so that people boost them high. Right. But if you come in either neutral or high, people are going to take you down.
That's
like,
true.
There's a weird midline where I feel like the internet wants to keep everyone at the same level of
tall
happiness.
Poppy syndrome,
and they're
tall poppy syndrome, which is you cut the tallest poppy in the field, and so it's like anyone that's too high, it's like whoop.
That'd be the name of my mom's memoir.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Tall poppy.
Oh,
she's a tall poppy.
Is she wonderful? But she's
wonderful. But no, she's Australian, and that's the tall poppy thing is an Aussie thing.
I've never heard it before. Yeah. What do you hate, Ellie?
Oh boy,
what is it?
It's real controversial.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Shit.
I hate pizza.
I know.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. We're in a...
It's me doing faux controversy sound.
Whoa.
Rabble.
You do hate pizza. Pizza's having a real moment right now in the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. There are pizza onesies, pizza emojis everywhere. Pizza rats. I feel like there's so many really beautiful girls that are like, oh, I want pizza. And you're like, pizza's just having a thing... And I grew up Italian, and I grew up with just the stench of marinara in everyone's clothes and hair. To me, pizza, I eat pizza only if I am intoxicated enough to need sustenance. So it only reminds me of like having had
rock bottom,
like, yeah, like only like drinking Jack Daniels or something, which rarely happens. So I associate it with like pre-vom.
Yeah.
And I want to be a person that's like, I know, let's get a slice. But really, I'm just like, that gluten's going to hurt my stomach. And I can't stand the smell of tomatoes. And I feel like I'm in the closet about it. And I just want to get it off my chest.
I think that's fair.
It's
okay.
People eat all the pizza you want. But I'm sorry that if my enthusiasm for it is not authentic.
You do you. Fair.
You do you, yeah.
If anyone has thoughts about this, again, Slumber Party Podcast Facebook page, let's start a thread about it. Maybe there are others out there.
I hate pizza too.
I'm sorry. I don't wish it any harm.
No.
I just don't want to put it into my body
bowls.
Okay,
what do you love? And then we'll end on Claire's love.
Okay.
What do you love?
What do you love?
Okay, there's this podcast that is... I want to cry how amazing it is.
Okay.
Okay.
The Slumber Party with Ali and Georgia?
The podcast's point, it's called Sleep With Me. And the point is that the narrator tells the most rambling, incoherent story that you fall asleep. The point of the podcast is that Brilliant. You don't listen to it. And the narrator is... he just talks like... He's like Bueller. He's like that guy. What's his actor's name? Who has the monitor? Oh, he had a game. Ben.
Oh,
come on, you guys.
Ben Stein's Money.
Ben Stein. Yes. It's Ben. It's basically sounds like Ben Stein. And he just rambles the fuck on in these like weird meandering stories so that you fall asleep. What?
This isn't the Jeff Bridges thing, is it? Is it Jeff Bridges that does this podcast?
No.
Okay, I thought he had some other thing.
No.
Sorry, guys. So. I'll look that up.
I it didn't work the other night for me. And I listened to his rambling stories, and they are fucking hilarious. Like, he just went off on a tangent about flooding, and they're all, I think it's all fake, but flooding his parents' basement, and then kept going back to Game of Thrones, and then about watching Breaking Bad, and he watches Breaking Bad, an episode, then he'll watch it, the Spanish language version of it, and then he'll go back and watch Breaking Bad again and take notes. Like, he just goes on, and then comes back to flooding the basement, and it's like, this guy has to be a comedian. He's fucking hilarious.
How long are the episodes?
60 minutes, but I fall asleep within 10 minutes.
That's so great.
As an insomniac, Sleep With Me podcast. It's fucking incredible.
What headphones are you using to fall asleep?
I use the ones that you covered.
Oh, the sleep phones.
Sleep phones. It's almost like a headband that has earphones like inside of the headband.
Yes. Did I give those to you or did you order them?
You told me about it and I immediately bought them.
Oh, good.
Because they're great.
Okay.
Okay.
I gave some to my mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if she uses them. I should have given them to you.
What do you love?
I really love Michelle Wolf. I would slow bone her comedy sensibilities. Michelle Wolf is a new correspondent on The Daily Show. She just got hired like this week, but I was like, who's this girl? And so I went down a rabbit hole of watching her videos, and she has a video series on Comedy Central Digital called Now Hiring, where she's like a recruiter, HR type of person, and there's only like 5 episodes, but they're just super fucked up and so funny and very weird and very quick, and go binge watch them.
I love it.
Yeah, she'll do great things. That's so awesome. I would slow bone her videos. Claire,
let's end on what you love.
Probably my favorite thing this week, other than just like Oscar Isaac's beard always, is I really, really love this YouTube channel called 1 Million Dance Studio. They are a just astonishing Korean hip hop crew, and they dress like, with the phrase my sister and I call it is beach goth, where it's like goths at the beach. So it's like they're leather shorts, you know, but the color palette is always like black, white, gray, and then like maybe a dark burgundy for the lip only. And they all have like, they just are so cool. It's like similar to Rihanna, where I'm like, I could never hang out with you guys. They're just the coolest. And they all have such like aggressive swagger, and they're just so talented. And I have watched so many of these videos over the last week. It's choreographed dances. Like the one they did. There's one top threes is like, they did an amazing one to Bitch Better Have My Money. Mm. They did a fantastic one to I Don't Fuck With You. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my God, there's like one other one that I just was like freaking out over. I can't remember. It's Beyonce of some kind. Anyway, but The dances are insane, and it's an actual dance studio, and they have like this really cool rig. Like the way they shoot, it's really amazing. Yeah. It's shot like a music video kind of, but all one take. And so each like the hero dance crew comes out, like three of them or whatever, and they'll do like 30 seconds of a dance. And then it'll all of a sudden restart, and it's like a new group of dancers doing it. So they have the entire dance crew go through and do this like same choreography.
I don't watch a specific one, but I think I've seen this one before because I'm obsessed with choreographed dancing.
Oh my God. I now have like favorite, because each one says like choreography by. Yeah. And so I have like favorite choreographers within the dance studio. Yay. Like whenever I'm like, oh man, it's a Jin Lee one. Oh, watching. Like it's a thing. And because I also have no dancing or singing ability whatsoever. So I just look at people like that, like they're just magical unicorns and just, oh my God.
What's it called? Tell us.
1 million dance studio, I think. And
everyone,
it's,
go watch it.
1 million, but like the one is a numeral one. Million. A million spelled out million, because they're super cool.
We're gonna watch this.
Would you ever try to learn the choreography if you could?
Like drunk alone in my room, yeah.
Yeah. Best way to learn choreography.
I tried I was driving to the desert with just my cat. Like it was just me and Mochi on a road trip, and Adele came on, so obviously I started singing along because it's like, how can you not? And every time I started singing, Mochi would just go, she's quiet, she doesn't make any noise, but she would meow every time I tried. I would just start singing like someone, and then she'd be like meow every time.
I'll dance with Elvis sometimes when I'm drunk, like alone.
But do you care? Do you hold him kind of like a baby and dance with him like
this?
No,
I like dance around him and in front of me. He just kind of sits and watches me, and he's like, what the fuck is she doing? I'm gonna enjoy it.
It's a dance party for two.
It's fun. It's great. Well, where can everyone find you and stalk you gently?
Yes. I love a gentle stalking. So my blog is called The Kitschy Kitchen. You can find me at Kitschy Kitchen on Instagram. I also have to say this. I am so thirsty. I am so close to 100,000 followers. And like, it just will not happen for some reason.
We promise we won't get you there, but we'll do our best.
Someone, please.
Can you spell out kitschy?
Yeah, it's spelled like kitchen, not like something in your grandmother's shelf. So KITCHY, good, kitchen. And I also have a YouTube channel, so you can just like look up The Kitschy Kitchen on YouTube, and I am there talking about food and lifestyle and usually food. And then I'm on all the platforms, I'm on all the things. Yeah. And the there's not really other Kitschy Kitchens. I'm on, right, except for on Snapchat, someone took the first Kitschy Kitchen.
What?
I don't think they even do anything with it, so I'm awkwardly Kitschy Kitchen 1.
I hate that.
So embarrassing.
That's lame.
That's like being a second wife.
It's so weird.
You know what I mean? When you have to put the number after it, you're like, well,
second wife.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or like sister wife. Thank you so much for being on.
This was the most fun.
So fun. You can find us at all kinds of Allie and Georgia platforms. Email us at Allie and Georgia. Anything.
Yeah, but join the Facebook Slumber Party podcast group, because it's super fun, and we post things on there a couple times a day because we're creeps. Yes.
And please, please, please go rate, review, and subscribe. That makes us higher up on the comedy podcast list, and then we feel better about ourselves and our lives.
We feel so good about ourselves.
And go to feralaudio.com to find out a lot of awesome other podcasts, and love us forever, please.
Can you do that?
We need you.
Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Feral Audio.